Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. You're missing our usual opening this week because not only are we both at home, but so is our director. So that presents a few more technical challenges.
All right. But lots of news to convey, you know, as this coronavirus pandemic intensifies. And a lot more sad losses in our communities. An Irish gay activist, a Florida deputy sheriff, an AIDS researcher, an actor, journalist, an AIDS service provider, and a trans pioneer in Miami Beach.
But we're fighting back too. The great activist Reverend Billy here in New York got arrested protesting Franklin Graham's prayer tents, as Andy now calls them, which I think is appropriate, in Central Park.
Over in Ireland, the out gay prime minister has reactivated his medical license so he can work as a doctor one day a week volunteering in the pandemic.
And much to our surprise, the sex abuse convictions of the Australian Catholic Cardinal George Pell have been overturned by the High Court in Australia.
He's very strong anti-LGBT character. The children's author, Jacqueline Wilson, has come out officially.
The FDA has loosened its blood donation rules for men who have sex with men and a number of other categories of people, but this is still not a scientific decision and not nearly enough.
Okay, and we have a lot more entertainment links to tell you about that you can watch online. Some really great stuff that I'm looking forward to seeing. But we start with the news. Now, of course, you know, we may survive this pandemic, but I don't know if the country is going to survive as a country given what's going on right now.
Very, very scary when you look at the voting in Wisconsin. But we'll know in 5 days how that turns out.
I'm not just concerned about Wisconsin. I'm talking about all the extraordinary powers that Trump is grabbing, firing all the inspectors general. Yeah. It goes on and on and on and on and on. But we can keep going on acting like we still have a republic and fill out your census form if you haven't already.
Please.
That's something you can do at home.
Well, it's a way for you to maintain or increase the number of representatives from your state. New York has lost a few representatives over the last few years because its population is perceived as dropping in relation to other states. That may or may not be true, but if you don't fill out your census form, you won't be counted and we won't have representatives representing us.
Well, somebody pointed out that they're finally getting the message in the White House that through their inaction and their bad actions in the pandemic, they're killing off a lot of their own voters.
Well, certainly not in the killing off. Are they getting to enough of them? But will their voters stick with them or not?
I mean literally dying in these areas.
I understand, but so far 13,000 are dead. I don't think that's going to make a difference in the voting rolls.
We shall see.
Well, we're testing Trump's statement that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and still be elected.
We're still trying not to get this, and I hope you are too out there.
Yes.
Okay. All right, but let's talk about some of the people who have gotten it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, last week, we told you that our friend Tarlik McNeillis, who was a 56-year-old gay activist, Irish gay activist, very involved. I mean, he started his gay. We told him he was on a respirator. Well, he passed away. We have a picture of him. His activism goes back to Belfast in 1983. You can see him there if we can get that picture up. Yeah. The vile Ian Paisley started a campaign to save Ulster from sodomy. Tarlik at Queen's University joined a protest with a T-shirt that said, "Save sodomy from Ulster." He was part of the original Irish Lesbian and Gay Organization in New York in 1991 that marched in the St. Patrick's Day Parade with Mayor Dinkins. By the way, if you're on our email list, we'll send you video of that march in 1991. And you can see how we were treated back then. We finally got into the St. Patrick's Day Parade, he became the formation chair of our contingent in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. He was so proud. And of course, he was always involved with St. Pat's for All in Queens. And we have a picture of him with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from March 1st, which was the last time that we had almost any kind of a big gathering in New York. There he is with AOC. Mm-hmm. So he was a sweet guy, a great reconciler in the community, a tough guy, but a fair guy. Loved him very much.
And in Florida, in Broward County, we lost Sheriff's Deputy Shannon Bennett, 39 years old, also a hero in his community. We have a picture of him and his deputy sheriff outfit. And Shannon was beloved in his community and a real hero who joined the force to do good and is now lost to this horrible virus.
Well, you know, he came out a while ago, and after the Pulse shooting in Orlando, he would start parking his patrol car outside of gay bars. And he said, no one is going to mess with my friends. He did his fiance. He was engaged to be married to Jonathan Fry, said that Shannon had no underlying health issues. It took him anyway. And of course, police, many, many police in New York are getting of this. Some are dying of it because these are the people on the front lines, along with so many others, like the EMS workers and, of course, the healthcare workers in the hospitals. Let's talk about Jita Ramji.
Yeah, she was died in South Africa in Durban. She was born in Uganda, actually, of Indian parents. Studied in, I think, London and South Africa. She was a very, very important AIDS researcher, and she got into it. It's portrayed by this quote on this picture. "The HIV epidemic has disproportionately affected women. I strongly believe that my calling in life is to find methods that empower women to take control of their HIV prevention and reproductive health rights through informed choices." She was working on
microbicides for women, yes.
Thank you. And she was an enormously respected and important researcher on these issues in South Africa. And it's a huge loss to lose her at age 57. She's survived by her husband, Jim. This virus is just striking down people.
She died in Durban. She had made a visit to her sons in London. And then when she came back, that's when she found out she had it, and it took her. All right. This story is a guy who, Dean Resch, 62 years old. He was a writer, an actor, and a singer who spent several years as a copy editor at Gay City News, where I write. He died April 3rd of the virus. He started in the 70s as an off-Broadway actor and on TV. This is what picture we're going to show first. We show what he looks like now, but you can go to the second picture, because back in the day, in the early 80s, he was an actor. And then a doctor told him, "You have pre-AIDS and you're going to die in 6 months." And it totally undermined his confidence as an actor. So he moved to San Francisco from New York. He got jobs. He's a very good writer and editor. He got jobs in law firms doing that kind of work. And then he finally came back to New York. And he had tremendous anger over Trump's mishandling of the crisis. And that makes me think about what happened to the comptroller of the city of New York this week, Scott Stringer. Who is running for mayor now. He lost his mother, who was 86, Arlene Stringer Cuevas, to this virus. And he went on CNN and he said the blood of his mother's hands is on Trump. She was a former New York City council member. But that he really put it out there in that case.
Yeah. And Gary Bowie in Los Angeles, he was the executive director of an organization called Being Alive, which was a support organization for people living with AIDS, mental health and services for people with HIV and AIDS. Again, a stalwart pillar of the community there in Los Angeles, a huge loss mourned by everyone in Los Angeles and beyond. Gary Bowie dead far too soon.
And survived by his husband, Jeff Watcha. In Miami Beach, now this is not related. I did some inquiries, not related to the party, the winter party that happened there. But in Miami Beach, Henrietta Robinson, 79 years old, the grand lady of Miami Beach, she got COVID while recovering from hernia surgery in the hospital. She was a fixture in the nightlife community. She found freedom in drag queen fashion shows. The gay club Twist was her second home. She was a mentor to many and one of the first trans people to live openly in Miami Beach. She was a resident there for 65 years.
Wow. And one more who we don't have a picture of, Dr. Frank Garbin in New Jersey. He died in his husband's arms at home. He was an emergency room doctor treating people with the virus in the last few weeks, and he got it, and he is gone now.
And there was a lot of notice about that on the news, and they mentioned his husband, and all that is encouraging, at least. All right, so let's see. Well, should we go back to the park?
Sure.
You know, we've been telling you about this Samaritan's Purse, this international right-wing Christian charity that goes around the world doing food programs, went into the Ebola epidemic in Liberia, and they fled, and they got permission to set up a tents in Central Park. And you had to sign a statement of faith if you wanted to work with them. And of course, there was a guy named James Finn. Do you know James there?
I don't, but I read his very, irate and detailed letter.
He tried to volunteer. Once he said he was gay, they said, forget about it. The woman said, I wish you luck volunteering elsewhere. That's what they should have told Samaritan's Purse. I wish you luck helping people elsewhere because you're a bunch of bigots.
James Finn got excited about volunteering. Medicine was not his field, but he had a lot of management skills that he thought would be important and useful. And so the more he read about the possibilities for working here in New York, where was he, Minnesota or Wisconsin or Michigan, somewhere in the upper Midwest. And he kept reading about it, and he got very interested and excited about coming to New York to help out. And so he read the Samaritan's Purse material, and he saw this statement of faith, and he thought, well, surely they're not going to turn me down as a volunteer just because I don't agree with this anti-gay bigotry and anti-abortion bigotry. So he called them up, and he went through the whole process, and they were thrilled at the idea of having him. And they were just about to sign off, and they said to him, oh, by the way, of course, you are going to declare your support for this statement of faith. And he said, well, actually, no, I'm not. I have to say I don't agree with it, but I'm perfectly happy to come volunteer with you. We can have a difference of opinion about other things. And they said, no, we don't want you. Go away.
And, you know, this is run by Franklin Graham, a total bigot and anti-Muslim, anti-gay, anti-women. He lied, and he says, we do not make distinctions about an individual's religion, race, sexual orientation, or economic status. We do not discriminate. And I have to say, and I'm going to call Brad about this, our state senator, he's trying to get a statement that everybody has to sign everywhere. We're not going to discriminate in the provision of services, but you're not supposed to discriminate in hiring and volunteers either. That right. has to be the standard. Otherwise, you know, please. Now, the Dean of St. John the Divine defended, he's going to be working with, they're going to turn St. John the Divine, the biggest church in the world, up on the Morningside Heights in Manhattan, into a 400-bed facility working with Samaritan's Purse.
Aye.
And Bishop Clifton Daniel said, I reject their values, but welcome their help regardless. And he was steered to them by Mount Sinai. To be working with them. And people are saying, well, what if the KKK wants to come and work? And don't think that's so ridiculous. You know, back in the 20s, the KKK used to have basketball teams that used to play with other high schools out on Long Island. They were just another group that was around that you could work with. I mean, come on. Now,
well, the other thing is that they are, Samaritan's Purse is very clear in all their literature and website and everything about the fact that their highest priority is bringing people to Jesus,
yes.
Not the medical services, bringing people to Jesus. And they are bringing evangelical chaplains to New York City, right. To tents, and they are going to be praying over dying Jewish people and non-believers and everybody else, and trying to bring them to Jesus on their deathbeds when their families and friends are excluded from being with them as they die.
I have posted this on my Facebook page, and we're going to include it in our email. But it's the footage of the Reverend Billy engaging in a protest there. He planted a rainbow flag outside the tent and was immediately arrested by six police. He called the Graham crew devils. We do not in New York City suspend our values in time of crisis. Six police, they threw him to the ground. He wasn't resisting. They threw him to the ground, practically broke his arm. Come on. And his video of this whole incident includes footage of the quote unquote healthcare workers joining hands around somebody who's dying, holding their hands and praying on them. Is that the last thing you want to see when you're dying of this thing?
I wondered at first why they could arrest Reverend Billy. Why isn't it legal to stand there with a flag? And I read the details, and it was about him stepping over some kind of barrier
jumped a fence that was said it was a police barrier. But, thank you, Reverend Billy, who was a tremendous progressive activist. He's from the Church of Stop Shopping. We love him.
And I've also talked to some people who are investigating doing some more activism around there. And so they're doing some research on Samaritan's Purse, a little deeper research about whether or not they really are medically competent. And there are a lot of questions about their work, particularly in Liberia with the Ebola patients, and a lot of talk about their inadequacies as medical providers.
It's a disgrace to the city, and I'm very disappointed in St. John the Divine.
Yeah.
All right, some other corona stories. You know, one of the news stories that struck me this week was that South Korea and the United States discovered their first cases on the same day.
Yes.
The death rate in South Korea is 4 per 1 million people. And the rate here, probably higher now, is 25 per million, 6 times worse than South Korea.
Well, you, of course, wouldn't know that by listening to I hate to even call him the president, watching his lies day in and day out, which are just increasing exponentially, is very
good. And you mentioned what's gone on in Wisconsin, and I think we have to talk about that, because they forced a primary election, mainly because they wanted to win another seat in the Wisconsin Supreme Court or hold on to one. And this is basically murder. Murder by the Republicans there, murder by the Republican National Committee, murder by the High Court in Wisconsin, and the United States Supreme Court. And this is what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said to them. What are you doing? There is absolutely no bottom to this. I mean, it was so painful to watch people standing online in very few open polling places as it was. You're submitting the poll workers, the voters. Everything has to be vote by mail, folks. Contact your legislators now and demand vote by mail for everyone. I sent in, I want an absentee ballot from now on for the rest of my life. I'm not going into polling places anymore, as long as this thing lasts, certainly. And that's what I've applied for.
And the horror of Trump standing there yesterday and talking about how heinous and corrupt voting by mail is, although he voted by mail this last year.
I'm telling you.
Unbelievable.
Trump is well aware he will be undone if everybody can vote.
But he's just shameless and relentless about these lies.
And Bernie has suspended his campaign. Everybody says they suspend. That doesn't mean they get off the ballots and they're not going to be part of the convention if they ever have one. But they're still in it. People can still register however they want and vote for whoever they
want. Yes, and you want him to have leverage for his issues at the convention. Now, he'll never have a majority of the delegates, so there are limits to his influence, but it's not a bad thing to try to increase that.
And I know Joe Biden is watching because, you know, what else is, you know, he's got to do. Joe, you know, when they ask you if you're, I know you haven't been for Medicare for All, but when they ask you if you're for it, what you really need to say is, you know, this is a tremendous catastrophe and crisis. Everything is on the table. We have to look at what works and what's going to preserve the health and safety of the American people so that we never go through this again. So I'm not ruling anything out.
And certainly my bottom line commitment is health care for all in whatever form.
Right. Well, affordable health care for all.
Yes, that too. Well, one aspect of healthcare we're missing is that because of the lockdown of businesses, there's evidently a condom shortage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
you're not supposed to be mixing it up anyway.
Exactly. So maybe that's the flip side of the coin. But I was curious about that. Did you know that Dr. Deborah Birx is an evangelical Christian?
Yes, I did. And yeah. So is the guy who's the head of the CDC.
Yeah.
I mean, not looking good.
Yeah, well, not that I...
Then you've got Trump in there, you know, pushing the unproven chloroquine, which some people, you know, will say has helped them. But he blocks Fauci from countering him. But there is some hope for something called, related to, since you're talking about condoms, I'll talk about Viagra. Nitric oxide is the active ingredient in Viagra. It opens up blood vessels and may help sick patients.
All right.
They're talking about giving it to the healthcare providers before they go in the room with the sick patients. So that's encouraging.
I will not tell jokes about giving Viagra to healthcare providers before they.
My friend Ann Northrup is against telling jokes in this thing, but apparently I haven't seen the story. So, Lori Lightfoot is trying to take a lighter touch when she's trying to get her people to do something in Chicago. The mayor there, the out lesbian.
Well, that of course brings up the subject of the racial disparities in infections and deaths.
Oh yes, and Andrew Sullivan said, "Why are you bringing that up now?"
Because
God.
Why? Because more black people are dying.
Correct.
Could that be a reason? Because they live in closer quarters. Because
it's alarming.
They have worse health situations and less access to health care.
Yeah. Oh, and these are not statistics collected by the federal government. They're not collecting them and issuing them. It's all coming from the state.
Neither is New York.
And of course, the states are also using this as an excuse to shut down abortion in the states. The stories are just appalling. Yeah. Just appalling.
Now, and of course, the arrests, the fines, the prison for people accused of attempted murder by spitting at cops. Now, I'm not in favor of spitting at cops and saying, I have the virus, I'm going to kill you. But surely there's some better solution than prison. Six people in New Jersey were given summonses for an illegal gathering by being too close together or whatever. It's the potential for the criminalization of this situation is high.
And returning to the religious leaders for a moment, I just want to say all of these religious leaders, like Franklin Graham and others, were blaming COVID on LGBT or Jews or another scapegoat, you know, or it would, the turning away from God. That's identifying us as people that you ought to commit violence against because we're the people who caused it. And there are people who take that seriously.
Sure.
So I think that the people should be arrested for incitement when they say these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the human instinct to scapegoat and to absolve oneself of responsibility seems to be an enormously wide strain in the human race. Good news, Councilmember Richie Torres in New York City is better. He has come out of the worst part. He's recovering, and he's back to speaking out about all of this, so we're happy for that.
Young gay guy in my building who was in intensive care. He's home, and he tests negative at this point.
So that's great.
Encouraging.
That's great. Some good announcements from a couple of foundations. The Elton John Foundation is planning to devote grants to research, they finance research around HIV, and they're going to expand that to virus research, specifically as it intersects with people with HIV and AIDS. Or, you know, we've talked from the beginning of this about the potential for HIV drugs to be helpful. And so the Elton John Foundation is getting involved in that, as is AMFAR. Their researchers will work on these questions too.
Good. Lady Gaga has announced on the late shows, the late night shows, that there's going to be a One World benefit for coronavirus. $35 million has already been raised, $10 million from the outgay head of Apple, Tim Cook, alone. The funds are going to benefit healthcare workers and President Trump's favorite organization, the WHO, the World Health Organization. By the way, Britain stepped in and said, no, the World Health Organization, please.
You know, ridiculous.
But this is going to be a two-hour special on April 18th on ABC, CBS, NBC, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Instagram, Tencent, I never heard of it, Twitter, YouTube. The hosts are going to be Jimmy Kimmel, Colbert, and Fallon. Tons of stars are appearing, including Elton John, Billie Eilish, Paul McCartney, Alanis Morissette, Kerry Washington, and Stevie Wonder, among many others.
Outright Action International, the former Eagle Herc, International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, has formed something called Outright TV, which you will find on YouTube or SoundCloud. And what that's going to be is the story of LGBT plus people around the world and their experiences of the virus. So you can go to the Outright TV channel on YouTube or SoundCloud to find those stories around the world.
You mentioned the prisons. They're becoming death camps. Rikers Island, it's just a jail. It's where you go for detention or short sentences. An inmate who's there on a technical parole violation, he's dead. Also, a guy named Victor Chapman, 56, who has AIDS and a low T-cell count, is being forced to, like, be escorted by an elevator by the guard, by the officers each day to get his medication, all exposing him to more potential infection. And he's there for stealing Tylenol at a pharmacy, and he's trying to get out. 273 detainees have been infected, 321 officers, 53 health staffers, all infected. Two workers have died as well. The mayor has released de Blasio 900 and says there are more ahead, but it's not happening quick enough.
Can we talk about the blood donation regulations?
Yes.
All right. So the Food and Drug Administration controls the rules about who donates blood. And in 1977, they ruled out at some point donations from men who had had sex with men anytime after 1977, which was approximately when they dated the major beginning of the HIV epidemic, although we know there were patients long before then. But if you'd had sex with another man after 1977, you were ruled out as a blood donor. And as these regulations went up and down around the world, it wasn't until 2015 that they changed it to, all right, if you haven't had sex with another man in the last year, you can donate blood. Now, is there really any major difference between ever and a year? Certainly some people, but not enough to make a real difference. So we weren't happy with the year waiting period. Okay, you're old. But now, in the midst of a crisis where they need blood, they are finally getting on board with the more modern concept that has been adopted in countries around the world of a three-month exclusion period. If you have had sex with another man in the last 3 months, you cannot donate. But farther along than that, yes.
Or if you are a female who's had sex with a man who has had sex with a man, you're under the 3 months. It's not scientific.
Or if you've had tattoos or piercings, or if you're on Truvada, there's something I don't understand. But the fact is that if you acquire HIV,
yep,
you can be tested and come up positive on that test within 5 days of infection. 5 days. And there's no reason that any exclusion period has to be longer than that. They can test, and they do test blood for HIV and other problems. And this is a completely arbitrary and discriminatory deadline on their part, this 3-month exclusion. And of course, it doesn't have anything to do with who is having sex overall or what risks they are taking. Heterosexual couples can have unprotected sex, or couples, thousands of people can have sex with each other and in unprotected sex and not be excluded from blood donation. So this is a continuing of the stigma, a continuing of the overgeneralization, and really upset.
I know people who know they're absolutely safe and they have no possibility of having had this, of getting this, and they just go in and they just don't check the box and they give the blood.
I'm sure that happens all the time. But now people, of course, are scared to give blood because is that a safe operation? Are you far enough away from other people?
I'm scared to go in and get a document notarized, you know, because you got to stand there with a bunch of people and et cetera.
They will continue this new 3-month window of non-donation past this crisis. Thanks a lot. That's great.
All right, some other news. The National Trans Visibility March will now be held virtually on October 3rd. Go to nationaltransmarch.com for more info.
Yes. And the New York State Legislature, in the midst of everything they're doing, has legalized surrogacy, gestational surrogacy. You don't have to go to California anymore from New York to have someone carry a baby for you.
This was a bill very much promoted by our state senator, Brad Hoylman, resisted by a National Organization for Women for a variety of reasons, and they kind of pushed the two versions together.
They did.
They want to protect the women.
Yeah. Well, sure, we all want to protect the women, but I think to think that people are going to be exploited in this process is a little antediluvian. And does not allow, in the same way that sex work is outlawed for fear of sex trafficking, it does not allow for the concept that women might actually make a rational decision to do this, both for being beneficent to people who want children and maybe to make a little money.
Right.
And why is that outlawed?
Right.
So I think it's great that they passed that.
And we will provide a definition of antediluvian in our show note. In Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam signed into law a bill offering a non-binary gender marker on driver's licenses and identification documents. He's a doctor, by the way, and he has shut down that state into June.
Yeah. And in Ohio, they're going to build an LGBTQ senior housing facility in Cincinnati. That's good news. In Missouri, I think we told you some time ago that the Episcopal Diocese in Missouri had announced they were going to consecrate an out LGBTQ bishop, African-American Dion Johnson, married with two kids, and they have finally done that. They have consecrated him.
Good. And they finally have a new press secretary for Trump, even though the last one never held any press briefings. And this one, who was a Mark Meadows production, he's the new.
Oh, my God.
Staff. Kaylee McEnany?
Yes.
She said in February.
31 years old.
She said in February, we will not see diseases like the coronavirus come here. Isn't it refreshing when contrasting it with the awful presidency of Barack Obama? She said the rallies for Trump would go on at the time. The president is the best authority on this issue. And on March 12th, she said 1 million tests had been distributed, 10,000 had. She said Obama went golfing when Daniel Pearl was killed. The Wall Street Journal reporter was killed, but it was happened to be in 2002 when Bush was president. And she says the Confederate flag is a symbol of Southern pride. And she's a birther.
And look forward to media appearances by her in the near future. She's not expected to hold press conferences either or press briefings. Philippines.
And McConnell is now pushing his protege, 37 years old. This guy's been a federal judge for 6 months, and now they want to elevate him to the U.S. District Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. ABA, American Bar Association, rated him unqualified. This is a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. He wants to end affirmative action and the Affordable Care Act.
You may remember years ago in California, the trial over Prop 8, the California law that outlawed same-sex marriage, which we won. But at the time, they videotaped the trial, but they decided that they would not release the videotapes immediately. The right wing has now gone into court to ask that those tapes stay sealed. KQED, the television station out there, wants to air them. Dustin Lance Black and others were involved in a dramatization of the transcripts, but we've always wanted to see the actual trial video, and the right wing is still fighting against letting that come out in public.
It must be very embarrassing, like what's going on in some tents on Central Park.
Or in the daily press briefings in the White House briefing room.
Right. We told you about what was supposed to be the first crime in space. An astronaut, Annie McLean, was accused by her ex-wife of illegally attempting to access her accounts, this woman's summer warden. And now it turns out, and she brought all kinds of charges against Annie. And now it turns out that she made the whole thing up, that the access to the account was perfectly legitimate when they were married. Now Warden faces 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. All right, international news.
In Jackson,
you go ahead.
No, a couple things in international. I'm sorry, you threw me off. In Jacksonville, Florida, the National Association of Social Workers has named a transgender man Xander Keig, K-E-I-G, as the Social Worker of the Year.
All right.
Works with transgender people. Works with people with mental illness. Works with the military. Evidently a really wonderful guy and is the National Association of Social Workers Social Worker of the Year. And congratulations to Laura Rakovich, who is the new interim executive director of the LGBTQ Leslie Lohman Museum here in New York City.
She is quite something.
Yes. She was at the Queens Museum and left there under some... I don't want to say a cloud, but she had political differences with the board of directors of the Queens Museum because she was too progressive.
They did a lot of LGBT stuff under her. She is not LGBT herself, and she thinks Leslie Lohman should be led by someone LGBT on a permanent basis. She's working on a book, The Myth of Museums, Why Cultural Institutions Can't Be Neutral in an Age of Protest.
And she's there as the interim ED because the very out, wonderful gay ED has become the New York City Commissioner of Cultural Affairs.
Name is Gonzalo Casals.
Yes. So she's stepping in. All right. International news. Yes.
I'm very heartened to see that the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, he lost the last election, but he's still there until they can form a government. He reactivated his doctor's license and will work one day a week as a physician. I mean, Trump won't even put a mask on to be a good example.
Well, Varadkar is going to work on the phone. He's going to be one of these screening doctors you call to check out your symptoms with him to decide whether or not to go to the hospital or how to treat the symptoms you think you're having. There are a lot of medical people working on the phones to pre-screen people so that the hospitals are not even more overwhelmed than they already are.
I got to get some of those goggles. A friend of mine says I should wear, I don't wear glasses anymore other than for reading, so I can't really wear them out. It'll be blurry, but I've got some sunglasses. Then you should cover your eyes. You should wear something over your eyes when you're out there walking around.
Well, the last couple of days I've been wearing a bandana on my face, just a regular old cowboy bandana. And because I've had to go out a couple of times to do errands. And as I leave my building, I say to my doorman, and after this, I'm going to rob a bank.
Well, they arrested two black guys. Like. They arrested the two black guys in a Walmart because they were wearing masks to protect themselves.
Yeah,
I have to say, I was, you know, I'm not a monarchist, but I was very impressed by the speech the Queen gave, a 4-minute speech on this. I mean, if you haven't seen it, look it up online. It's only one of four she's ever given, other than the Christmas message to the nation, and it was just pitch perfect. And
it's so much more adult than what we're hearing in this country.
Right.
We're not impressed by the adultness of the health minister in Israel.
Now, Yaakov, the original stories on this said that he blamed this on gays, the pandemic on gays. That has been debunked. He is anti-gay. There he is with Netanyahu. He is from an anti-gay sect. But he now tests positive for COVID, and as does his wife. And because he has it, and there he is with Netanyahu, Netanyahu and most of the cabinet have had to go into quarantine. He ignored social distancing guidelines. He attended group services in the days before the diagnosis. Netanyahu has announced the nationwide lockdown until Friday to get them through Passover, but they're going to need a lot more than that. And this guy just hasn't been doing... People want him out at this point because he just didn't handle the crisis properly.
To say the least. All right. In other international news, in Hungary, they passed a law giving Viktor Orban, the president of Hungary, who is like Trump and Bolsonaro combined. He's so horrible.
On steroids.
Yeah. They gave him the power to do anything he wanted in the country. So the first thing he did was propose a bill to forbid recognition of transgender people and to replace any time gender is mentioned in any law or regulation with the term birth sex. That's his priority in this
just outrageous crisis. And 70% of Hungarians support access to legal gender recognition based on who you are. I mean, it's...
Well, when I was interested when Trump was asked about wearing a mask and he said no. He said, you know, I just don't think it looks good when I'm meeting with presidents or kings or queens or dictators or whatever. And I thought, really? No one's calling you on that? What are the dictators you're meeting with, President Trump?
A lot of trouble. Been in a lot of trouble since January of 2017.
Yeah.
In Australia, you know, we told you about the conviction of this guy. We got to tell you that it was overturned. The High Court overturned the conviction of Catholic Cardinal George Pell for the sexual abuse of boys about 25 years ago. He was once the number two guy in the Vatican. He was a leading anti-LGBT campaigner. The court said there were many improbabilities in the charges that were not considered by the jury.
I'm sorry if I didn't catch this. It didn't sound like you said anti-LGBT campaigner.
He was an
But yes,
at this point.
Well, it's very strange the way the law works in Australia, because first of all, the entire trial was secret. It's not an open court. There are no transcripts released. No one is allowed to hear any of the testimony, supposedly to protect the complainants this was a case where he was accused of molesting two 13-year-old boys. One is now dead. The other, 26 years later, is now presumably 39, but they were protecting his anonymity. So no one knows the content of any of the testimony. And all we have to go on now is the High Court ruling that they thought the case was not proved, that the jury should have allowed more reasonable doubt. But there's no way that we will ever know or be able to judge the truth of that. Now, meanwhile, the High Court just said that the convictions were unreasonable or cannot be supported by the evidence. Pope Francis is celebrating this, celebrating the overturning of the convictions. Our pal, Pope Francis, what a great guy, celebrating the overturning of the convictions.
I mean, you know, some people are wrongly accused at times, but
How would we know in this case? We can't see the trial transcript.
What happens if the jurors speak out? Do they get...
They are probably forbidden to speak out because all of this is supposed to remain secret. I think the complainant should speak out. He should tell story publicly.
He has. He says he accepts the decision of the court. That's what happened.
Well, all right. Moving on to Peru, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which covers, most of the Southern Hemisphere and beyond, has ruled that Peru is responsible for the detention, rape, and torture of a trans woman. It's the first LGBT torture case that the court has heard. I didn't hear anything about punishment for that or any consequences, but they have held the country of Peru responsible for that.
Okay.
And in Uganda, 20 gay men, I guess, in an AIDS shelter were arrested for violating social distancing rules.
Right.
Frank Mugisha, the great activist in Uganda, says that they were arrested for homosexuality. There are 44 coronavirus cases reported in the entire country. This is clearly just an excuse to grab these guys who were in a shelter. How much social distancing could they do?
Right. Oh, right. In the United Kingdom, the leading children's author there, Jacqueline Wilson, has officially come out at 74, saying, "I've never really been in any kind of closet." She's been with her partner, Trish, for 18 years. Her 111th novel, Love, Frankie, shines some light on her private life. Her Tracy Beaker character was the center of a hit TV series.
And my phone is ringing. I think I've been muted by our director. I'm going to answer this.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
I
wanted to...
All right.
Nope, it wasn't. I guess we're back on. Can you hear me, Andy?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Sorry.
Can you hear us out there?
A small technical moment.
Okay.
All right. So I think we covered international news.
Some AIDS news. There's a study in Japan that taking Truvada for PrEP for HIV also greatly lowers the risk for hepatitis B by 89%. This does not negate the need to get the hepatitis B vaccine if you want for a symptom-free, when you get that.
Yeah, it really prevents symptoms of hepatitis B if you've had the vaccine.
Right.
So that's good. Mount Sinai is just for you locally in New York who have HIV and are wondering about services in the midst of this crisis. Mount Sinai is consolidating its HIV clinics at its facility at 275 7th Avenue. And the pharmacy is open there. And just in general, you should really be trying to contact your medical providers if you're having trouble on the phone. By telehealth methods. There's a site called mychart.com, which is evidently a very efficient way to contact your health provider.
I mean, you and I, thank goodness, as far as we know, are okay. We wouldn't want to reassure people about that for the moment. But, yeah. I mean, should we be contacting our doctors and just sort of checking in now and saying, all right, what do I do if I start to come down with symptoms? Where do I call? Do I call you here? Or do you wait till something happens?
Well, I've had to contact a couple of doctors to renew prescriptions, and I haven't had any trouble getting in touch with them. That's just my experience. But they say if you are having trouble contacting your provider, that you call 311 or call a hospital helpline or something. So, call Leo Varadkar. He'll tell you what to do.
All right, entertainment news.
Yes.
I watched that PBS series World on Fire over the weekend.
Stick with it.
It's a soap opera, but it's set in World War II, and it does have a gay couple, Brian J. Smith and Parker Sawyers, an interracial gay couple, and it's on Sunday nights. You're right, it's not very good, but it has some intrigue in it.
Okay. Well, I'm still watching What other series did I pick up this weekend? Something on HBO? Is there a new series on HBO? Well, I'm still watching with utter delight My Brilliant Friend. And for those of you who have not taken my word for it and started My Brilliant Friend, please, you can watch the whole first year, 8 episodes on demand, and we're now we've done 4 episodes, I guess, of the new season.
But that's if you have HBO. But yes, they have made a lot of their older series and some movies and documentaries available free on TV and online, including The Sopranos, which is the greatest series that was ever made.
I got a note from them the other day saying everything is available free through the end of this month.
Everything.
So, if you can cram everything in the next few weeks, you can watch stuff on HBO. Let me know if that's wrong, but that's what they told me.
Did you see Shep in The Plot Against America?
I did. For about 3 seconds.
Looking very forlorn.
I had to rewind it to make sure it was him.
Moi aussi. Congratulations, Shep.
Yes, Shep.
Anyway, I told you about how the National Theater is putting some of its plays online. They did One Man, Two Governors this week. It was not for everyone, but I can highly recommend the one they're starting this Thursday, which is Jane Eyre, an adaptation by Sally Cookson. And it is mostly on a bare stage with platforms, but it's alive with drama. So just go to National Theater Home, Google that, it'll come up, and it's a great feminist classic.
And I want to mourn a couple of other people who died. A lot of talk today about John Prine, folk singer, country singer. His song, Hello in There, which they had been playing, and I was thinking to myself, whose version of that do I know? I know that song so well. And I looked it up.
Bette Midler?
Yes, Bette Midler. So I listened both to his version on YouTube, which is a little more folky and a little more twangy, and hers, which is a little more mournful. The other thing I realized was his original version says, me and Loretta were whatever. And Bette Midler's version says, me and my husband. But Joan Baez's version says, me and Loretta. We're often talking about changing names or pronouns in songs, but
Joan Baez would be most welcome at Broadway Backwards if they ever do that again for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. But Broadway Cares is streaming one night. They're celebrating 25 magical years of Disney on Broadway on Monday, April 13th at 7 p.m. You can go to BroadwayCares.org or on YouTube. The show was on November 9th, and it's star-studded. Whoopi, Norm Lewis, Christian Borle, Gary Butler, Gavin Creel, many others. By the way, they've been longtime supporters of Gay USA, and we very much appreciate it. And, you know, they're one of the charities that has had to tell, grantees, we can't do it this year because of what's happened.
Well, because they raise money at Broadway shows, and Broadway shows are off.
But we just want to express our deepest gratitude to Broadway Cares.
Absolutely.
For everything they've ever done, not just for us, but for the world.
And Broadway has announced their latest update on their schedule. They are now saying that there will be no Broadway shows until at least June 7th.
At least. Yeah. Who's going to want, honest to God, who the hell is going to want to go into a packed Broadway theater at this
point? Well, there's got to be some point at which we feel safe to be around each other. I doubt that it will be June 7th, but who knows?
I don't know. It's a novel virus.
Yeah. I want to note one other passing, not, I believe, related to the virus, because she was 94 years old, but Honor Blackman.
Oh, yes.
Who was Pussy Galore in Goldfinger in 1964.
You said that, not me.
Well, that was the name of the character.
I know.
But it was an essentially lesbian character. She traveled with a posse of women. She told James Bond, I am immune to your charms. She eventually, of course, in the formula, succumbed to him. But it was a very important role model for me anyway in 1964 when I saw that movie. She was gorgeous. And she was very overtly sexually involved with her posse of women.
And she was an accomplished stage actress as well.
Yes, yes. So I was really, I was struck when I opened up the paper yesterday and saw that Honor Blackman had died at 94. She was terrific, smart, funny, gorgeous, wonderful, and a great lesbian role model.
Right.
5 years before Stonewall.
Right. We told you about the that mom and pop gay porn store in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
Circus of Books, in L.A. It was a 35-year institution. Well, Ryan Murphy has made a documentary about it. Actually, Rachel Mason is the director of it. These are her parents, about this iconic mom and pop store, and it's going to be on Netflix starting April 22.
Mm. Okay.
The reboot of DuckTales on Disney has introduced two dads who are the fathers of Violet, who is friends with Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And this one grabbed my attention, a Batman graphic novel, and they call it part of the canon, where Alfred, who has been the butler for Bruce Wayne, is now his gay uncle. And it's called Gotham High, but there's more. It looks at Bruce as a 17-year-old Chinese-American high school student, and he's in a love triangle with Selina Kyle, who is Catwoman, and Jack Napier, who is the Joker. They call it, say it has a crazy rich Asians feel.
I think you lost me a couple of sentences ago.
Batman is young. He's a Chinese American. Yeah. It's in high school.
Okay.
And that's the deal. And Alfred the butler is his gay uncle.
All I want to know is Awkwafina in it? She's my favorite.
No. Google. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'll look for
now. We're down to our last 2 minutes here. I do want to remind you, in the email, we are going to have that video of Billy Talon planting the rainbow flag, and you can see what goes on inside the Samaritan's Purse tent, and a video from Lisa Guido from the 1991 St. Patrick's Day Parade, when Mayor Dinkins marched with the Irish Lesbian and Gay Organization, and you can see our friend Tarlick McNeallis with I'll Go at the end of that video.
So that's on gayusatv.com to sign up to get our weekly show note, to get those extra videos.
And let me explain, because people write me, when you go to our website, gayusatv.org, you sign up yourself, and then GoDaddy sends you an email saying, you sure you want to do this? And you say yes, and then you get on the list and you get our weekly email previewing the program.
And do we have time for the one more Jake Gyllenhaal story?
Sure.
45 seconds.
He gave an interview where he said Heath Ledger refused to share the Oscar opening monologue with him in 2007 because they planned to make Brokeback Mountain jokes, and Heath would not do it. He also said that the couples that turned down doing Brokeback Mountain, Matt Damon and Ryan Phillippe, and Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Isn't it Ryan Phillippe?
Philippi.
Is it? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us. See you
next week. We'll be back next week. Bye.